The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. Today, we're going to have some fun because we're doing something different. It's exciting to realize that we can have some measure of control over our mind, our mouth, our moods, and our attitudes. And we need to exercise that control. You can increase your joy and your peace by learning how to think better. You know, we've got some special guests with us today, and I think you're going to really enjoy them. Of course, we have Ginger. Welcome, Ginger.
Hello.
And Jenny.
Thank
and
you.
Paul and Trajet. And each one of them have something going on in their life that would be considered difficult or a struggle. I kind of felt like, I was actually walking one morning, and I thought, you know, every time we have guests on the show, it's almost always somebody that is in public ministry. They're a reverend or a doctor or, you know, somebody who's in public ministry. And I thought, you know, it would be nice to just hear from some of the people that work for us and some of the things that they're going through. And then Trajet is actually the wife of one of the men that works for us. I think it's so important for you to realize that you're not the only one that's going through difficult times. We all have battles that we have to fight, but all of us can win those battles if we know how to do it properly. So,
very true.
Ginger, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've been going through lately and how you're dealing with it?
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is that my husband and I are going through something really very simple. It's just a big transition in our lives. So it's something that we all have to go through at different times, but it can be really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through the whole empty nest thing a while ago. Both our daughters are out of the house and married. But I kind of call this empty nest on steroids because this summer everybody moved away. So
like out of town away.
Out of town, hours away. And I know it could be far worse, but we're the only ones left because we don't have any family here in St. Louis. So. Mm-hmm. Things have changed dramatically for us, and you think so many things. You know, you think, did they not want to stay where we are? And that's not the right thought, because we have prayed and prayed for God's will in our girls' life and raised them to follow Him and be strong and go out and do what God calls them to do, and that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, and you were very connected to family. You know, I think some people, like, I'm real close to my family, but, like, for some people, that's not the case. So it's been especially hard for you because when you left where you live to come to work here, you left all your friends, your church, your family. So that was a big transition. And now that you've just kind of gotten good and settled here, now you're having to go through the same thing again. So tell us, what are some of the kinds of thoughts that come against your mind?
You think things like, they haven't texted me today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going on? I haven't got a call. We're not going to be as close as we used to be.
Mm-hmm.
All that's going to change now. You think things like, what is my purpose? I mean, it sounds so large, but I no longer have, like you're talking about, this close family that we had such great relationships and such fun with together.
Mm-hmm.
We still have the great relationships, but things start to change and your mind just goes to the next level of, it's never gonna be the same again.
So what do you do? What kind of action do you take to try to control those thoughts?
It's so much about praying that God will help me go day by day. I don't have to know what the future holds. I don't have to know every next step. But day by day, as He's just showing me what I need to do in ministry, what I need to do to connect with other people, to connect with our church, to go beyond new relationships, because I know He has great things for us still.
Yeah.
But really working through that, not letting my mind race to crazy things, because I can really easily do that. You know,
well, and some people could really jump off the deep end and say, well, you know, I'm going to move back home. Where everybody's at. I'm going to move back where my daughter's at and my parents are at. And a lot of people do really derail their destiny in moments of emotional pain like that. And then later on, they're sorry. But if, for whatever reason, you just are not doing a good job of controlling those thoughts on any one given day, you know, Like recently, you were on a missions trip. It was a really hard trip. You got really tired. You weren't hearing from the people you'd like to hear from. So it's harder to control our thoughts when we're tired. You guys find that?
Absolutely.
It's just like it's a lot harder when you're tired. So if you don't control them, what happens? Because we're trying to show that the mind is connected to words, emotions, behavior. What kind of a mood can you get in, and how can you treat other people if you don't control your thoughts?
Oh, dear. So for me...
How bad are you, Ginger?
For me especially, my mind is connected to my mouth. So I tend to be an open book. You know, I say what I think, which is positive, but it can also be very negative. So when my mind starts to do those things, I have to stay quiet. Or I can say the wrong thing. I can say things that are not what I really even mean. I can say things that might hurt someone. I can say negative things about our situation or about ourselves. And usually I'm super positive. You know, I'm kind of a glass half full kind of person. But you get in those situations and all of a sudden your glass is empty. And I have to be quiet and I have to pray through those things. And it's my mouth. Completely, it's my mouth.
I want to reiterate to our viewing audience that one of the main things that Ginger had to do was come back to, am I in the place I'm supposed to be at? And see, I think that we all have to come to that conclusion. It's like, if I'm where I'm supposed to be, then these other things I'm dealing with in life will get worked out. And Satan will actually use those things to derail my destiny. And so maybe some of you that are struggling, maybe you need to ask yourself a larger question. You know, like we're going to talk to Trajet, I think maybe next, because it kind of fits in. And you are a stay-at-home mom.
Yes.
Which is awesome, by the way. You're not just a stay-at-home mom. You are a stay-at-home mom.
Yay.
Yay. Let's all give her. And you homeschool your kids.
Yes.
But Chet has to have two jobs, so he's gone a lot. So tell us, what kind of things do you deal with?
Well, I think a lot with what you were talking about, Ginger, about the just the situation and the thinking and the mind going out of control. It's me. I'm the one that has to... I have to deal with me, my thoughts, my attitudes, because, you know, though you have a husband, your kids, and you have all these different scenarios, I'm the only constant in that scenario. So if my attitude stinks, it's going to filter throughout everything that I do.
Well, and so... You know, if mama's not happy, ain't nobody happy.
Very true.
And it's so true. But just keeping my mind on the Word, keeping my mind on... This is where God has for me. This is my place.
So that was the thing I wanted to get to, kind of like Ginger. I'm sure you've had to go back to God several times.
All the
time.
Am
I really supposed to be homeschooling my kids? My gosh, you could put them in school and go out and get a job and get dressed up every day and go out.
And then you look at your friends and, you know, they're doing this or so-and-so's doing this. And you're like, I'm at home and I'm dealing with all these different situations. And I think the challenge for me has been like comparison. You know, how do you avoid looking at Ginger going, wow, that's really great. She's working. She's got purpose.
She's got a
career. She's talented. All these people around me are talented and I get to do laundry. And, you know, so it's the comparison of remembering that as soon as I start comparing my life to someone else's life, I have stopped running my race. I have stopped keeping my eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
And instead of running, I'm spectating when I should be participating.
That's
and
a trap for all of us, don't you think?
It's huge.
Everybody.
It's huge. And once you start looking at the people around you and what they have or what they don't have, and I understand because we have no family here. So everything that we do, it's like on us, you know, although God is provided wonderful connections, but it's still, you don't have family. So if, you know, you need a babysitter, it's like, you know, what do you do now that the kids are older? But I think the biggest challenge is keeping my attitude in check.
Well, I like the fact, I love the fact that you're taking responsibility for your attitude. So many people just don't want to do that. It's like every problem they have is somebody else's fault. And as long as we do that, nothing in our life will ever be taken care of.
You can't change. You can't change anything because I cannot expect my husband, Chet, or my kids, or my family, or my friends to be perfect. And if I'm expecting them to be perfect, then I am setting myself up for failure. And I did that for years. Mm-hmm. And it's miserable because you expend so much energy that you could be using on things that are actually productive instead of on something that's going to be a total waste of your time. And it just trips you up.
But you do find that those bad behaviors and moods, they all are connected to thoughts, right?
To what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling and the feeling sorry for myself. You know, woe is me.
Yeah.
I just have to do the laundry. And
yeah.
I have to... yeah. Just a mom.
Yeah. Just a mom, yeah, yeah.
So I really have to find joy in the journey.
Right.
And I'm looking to the external for the pats on the back and, oh, you're doing such a great job, what a great mom you are, then I'm going to be disappointed. But if I'm looking at the eternal, the fact that this course that God has me on, there is a reward mm-hmm. here in the middle of it, but also at the end of it.
And, you know, the beautiful thing is that, like, man, if you can come to the conclusion, I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yes.
To me, then the rest of it is just all peripheral. It's like Ginger knows that she's where she's supposed to be, so then therefore all these other things can get worked out. You know that you're supposed to be homeschooling your kids and staying home with them. That's the choice you've made.
Yes.
And so no matter really where we're at in life, there's struggles to go along with it. Now, you may be thinking, well, you know, I mean, I've got a real problem. You know, it's not just that my kids have moved away or I'm a stay-at-home mom. I mean, Joyce, I've got some real problems, so I don't know if what you're talking about today applies to me. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk to Paul and we're going to talk to Jenny, and they have some different types of problems that I would say are very severe. So stay with us because we've got a lot more right after this. Well, we are very excited to welcome John Gray to the 2017 Love Life Women's Conference. John.
Yes.
You were such a huge hit last year, we absolutely had to have you back again.
I'm so grateful. St. Louis was a game changer for me. Being raised by strong women of faith, women of God, and being in that atmosphere, I had never seen anything like it. Thousands upon thousands of women worshiping God, and not just the supernatural, but the practical application of the word. It was amazing.
Well, you're not only a great speaker that brings forth good content, but you are also extremely funny.
You gotta laugh if you're gonna love your life.
We need that, don't we?
Absolutely. If you are a woman that needs just that spark, this is the conference for you.
Well, John, we can't wait until you're back this year. And you know what? We really, really want to see you there. It's not gonna be the same if you don't come. So why don't you invite a friend, contact us, and register today. Welcome back. You know, today we're talking about the mind connection and how thoughts, if we don't manage them and control them according to the Word of God, can really derail our day and take us off into a really bad situation. And we've already talked with two of our guests, and now we're going to go to Jenny, who has a situation that she's going to tell us about. Tell us what's going on in your life.
Well, I have a daughter. She's now 5 years old, but when she was born with a lot of internal birth defects to her organs. It affected her heart, her lungs, and her liver. And we didn't know any of this while I was pregnant. She's a mystery. We still don't really know what has happened. But with that, I'm sure you can imagine there's been a lot of medical stays, and she's had open heart surgery to replace a valve in her heart. She's had a liver transplant, and she has continual maintenance surgeries. We have pretty much every 4 months, she continues to have surgery. And so I can really relate when we talk about being tired and fatigued. That is exactly when those thoughts come in. You know, I spend time in the hospital where you have, you're isolated from everyone, and you start really thinking about why did this happen? You know, why is she not healed? I'm praying for healing for her. So many things. And did I do something?
Right.
You know,
I'm sure that's a big one for people.
It plagues you. And I personally I've started recognizing them. I think that's one of the biggest things is to really be able to tell when that's coming. And when it's coming, it's usually because I'm tired or, you know, I just kind of...
You know, a word that I'm thinking about is weary. Yes. I would think in your situation that it's just very easy to just get weary of just doing the same, having the same thing to deal with over and over and over and over.
Right. But in this, I have started recognizing those thoughts right when they first start happening.
That's so good.
And it's like when someone comes knocking at the door, you're like, nope, block.
Right.
You have to just shut it down right from the very beginning.
That's exactly right.
I have to raise her up to be positive about herself, but she needs to be able to know that she was not a mistake.
Right.
This was
exactly.
That she is healthy and beautiful, and you know, God has a plan for her just the way that she is. And so I need her to have that confidence. And you know, it's important for me to have that confidence too. So it's kind of in me, I'm working on it while I'm putting it into her, because she has the longer journey to go with all of this.
I know this is hard to do, but another way that you could look at this is to kind of be amazed that God trusted you enough, that he trusted you with her.
Yes.
That he knew that you would go that extra mile to raise her properly, to love her properly. And I know that in all probability, you have gotten a lot closer to God through this journey. You know, I think our troubles can either just totally destroy our relationship with God, or they can draw us closer to God. But anyway, I just wanted to say that because that kept coming to me. You know, so often you have really terrible situations, and I guess instead of thinking, well, God, why is this happening to me? You could just say, well, God, I'm grateful that you counted me worthy to be able to handle this situation, and I know that you've got a purpose in it, and I don't want to fail you.
Yeah. That's Jenny, good. You do That's such good. A great job of having fun with Sophie. Mm-hmm. I mean, the two of you, and they make little videos, and you're just so sweet. She has such a sweet spirit, and you make sure that her life, in spite of what she's going through, is fun. And I think that's
good.
Really important when, like you said, it could be very different. Yeah. But you also must have a lot of ups and downs, like a lot of medical surprises, a lot of today was good, all of a sudden it's not.
Yes.
So how do you deal with some of that?
That's very true. And again, that gets tiring. I think there's always this this moment where you come to the realization that no matter what is happening with me, there is someone else who's having a more difficult situation. And I've seen so many children who have suffered with time being at the hospital. And I always come back to, thank you, God, for letting her still be with me.
Yeah.
Because the alternative has always been grim. And so you really just relish those moments because you know that, you know, they might not be here forever. Yeah. And so I really concentrate on that. And I would have to say, you know, with having fun with her, she is just a delight. I feel like she's teaching me. And
she probably is.
She is. She definitely is. I think a lot about when the Bible says about us being like little children, and I just study her. You know, she doesn't let these things bother her. She doesn't, you know, part of it is, you know, her naivety of being young, but in my ability to really understand what things mean, but still God wants me to have that spirit that she has, that, you know, this energetic, just loving
life. Probably not sitting around dwelling on what her future is going to be.
No.
Like, she is living life one day at a time, and that's such a key in the kinds of situations like you're talking about, because you really don't know exactly what the future holds.
Right.
You don't know what she may feel like tomorrow, or when will you be in the hospital the next time. And so you really are having to practice living life one day at a time.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right.
Well, Paul, tell us about your daughter.
My daughter, my oldest daughter, McKenna, she's currently 17. And when she was 11, she started an eating disorder. So, and at that time, she was kind of an athlete. She had done some sports the summer before her middle school. And when she went into middle school, everything kind of changed. She changed. She was going through a lot of emotional struggles.
Right.
And
did it just have a lot to do with security, not being secure, and things like that?
Yeah, that's an element. I think there's many drops to that. You know, it's not just one particular thing in her case. There's a lot of things that change. You know, she's very, very bent on being a perfectionist. She's hypercritical. You know, and then there's all, you know, there's a lot of things that add to that. But at the end of the day, she just stopped eating, you know. She just stopped eating, and she got to a point where she was so, we had to hospitalize her. Mm-hmm. And through this journey, she's been hospitalized a number of times and gone through medical treatments and various psychological facilities. And
what kind of thoughts come to you? What kind of things does the enemy present to your mind?
Well, one of the first things I think that my wife and I both had to just kind of own up and deal with is, did we have a part in this?
Did we fail?
Yes. Very similar to what you were talking about, Ginger. And real early, we just said, you know what? Sure, we did. Can't put a quantification on it, but we did have some sense of, we're her parents. This happened. But there's so many other things. So we just asked God to forgive us, and we just buried it. Just kind of left those bones to be, and we've really not wanted to return there.
So the bottom line is, in case you're kind of buying into a similar version of what Paul's talking about, is you're not a perfect parent. I'm not a perfect parent. But if your children have got any issues that you are connected to in some way, shape, or form, don't take the condemnation of that, because the good news is there's always healing for anybody who wants it.
That's good. Yeah.
Paul, I'm curious with you guys, because your daughter's next step is going away to school.
Right.
So it's going to be a little bit more out of your control. So you have a lot that you think about with that coming up?
It's funny. We do. She's entering into her senior year. So, we're doing the whole investigation of different colleges and, maybe do we want her to be close or do we want her to be far away? And of course, she wants to be as far away as possible. that's just normal. But, inside, we're also struggling with how much do we trust her?
Yeah.
Because my daughter is an amazing daughter who I could ask her to do anything and she would do it, and she'd be just a rock star. But to take care of herself, she fails at or has failed at. And so it's that dichotomy of having to deal with, at one point, she's going to be completely on her own. And do we kind of buffer that, or do we just let it happen?
I think we're going to trust her.
Absolutely.
And she's going to grow up.
Absolutely.
And that's going to be I feel like she'll do good. Sometimes when people have to make decisions for themselves and there's nobody there making them do what's right, it can be like a real deciding factor and point in her life. And so we're going to all agree with you in prayer that she's going to do very well. And I do want to say that his daughter did give him permission to share this on the TV program so it doesn't come across like, well, boy, she's going to be embarrassed. But, I would think, Paul, that a lot of her problems are connected to her thoughts.
They are. She's very, again, very smart and very critical of herself. We've never had to encourage her to study. We've never had to encourage her to perform better or do better.
Right, yeah.
We can't, actually, because she bears too much of a load on herself. Mm-hmm. And so that's a struggle that she's trying to work through.
People who have those perfectionist tendencies, boy, if they can be powerfully creative and amazing people, but they can also be extremely, extremely hard on themselves to a point of doing damage to themselves.
Right.
Like in this situation. So this is 6 years you've been going through this now?
Yeah, it is. Six years.
So you've got a 6-year problem going on here. You've got a 5-year problem going on here. You've got a situation that's you're going to have to deal with till your kids are grown. And you have a situation that, unless you move, which we're not going to let you,
Thank you for wanting me.
And of course, I'm sitting here today with no problems. I find for me, and I've said this before on the program, that the times when I have to watch my mind the most are when I'm tired. Mm-hmm. When I'm really tired, or when something else has happened that hurt my feelings. And this is why, honestly, it is so important for people to take care of themselves. If you're really tired, you need to get some rest, because if you don't, you're going to start thinking bad.
Yeah.
If you don't control that, you're going to start acting bad, you're going to start talking bad, and then pretty soon you're going to have all kinds of problems that just comes from the way you talk. And so the Bible tells us that we are to resist the devil at his onset.
Yeah.
I like what you said, that you have to do it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, the longer you wait, the harder it is. And then I think, Jenny, you also mentioned that there's other people that are going through things much worse. And I thought about that scripture this morning. And the Bible brings it up in saying, and it's in James 5, I believe, that everybody, the same sufferings are appointed to the whole brotherhood throughout the universe. And so it may not be the exact same thing, but this is the reason we need faith. Mm-hmm. God never promised us a trouble-free life, but we have faith. We put our confidence in God. And what a privilege that is.
Yeah.
What an amazing privilege it is to have God in your life that you can say, I believe you're going to take care of my daughter when she goes to college.
Right.
I believe that you're going to take care of every situation as it comes up. And so nothing good ever comes from thinking sour, critical, negative thoughts, but something good always comes when we think according to God's plan for our life. We access all the promises of God by simply believing them. And you know, I did something with the Mind Connection book that I have not done in years and years and years. I went into the studio and I read the book myself for audio. A lot of times I'll have somebody else do that because it's just, it's a lot of work to read a whole book onto tape. And so I did it because I feel very strongly about this book. If you're familiar with my ministry, you know that I've written a lot and taught a lot on the mind. But I believe this book, The Mind Connection, really shows how every good day starts with good thoughts, every bad day starts with bad thoughts, and we can cast down wrong thoughts and choose good ones. You just have to be taught how to do it. And so we're offering you today the audio book, and of course you can go online and get the regular book if that's what you want, but we're offering you the audio book today, and I believe that it will be just a great blessing to you, because here's the thing. If you don't have time to read it, let me read it to you. I can read you to sleep at night. How would that be? Be just like mama coming and reading you a book before you go to bed at night. You can listen to it in your car. You can listen to it when you're working around the house. There's no reason for anybody not to read this book, because if you don't have time to sit down and read it, you can listen to it. And I think it's going to be a book that's really going to help you. So please get your copy right away and start learning about the mind connection. Thanks, everybody, for being on the show today. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.